Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
143. Here we are.
Or one for three.
One for three. We're one for three, folks. That's about how I feel today.
Used to be the Mariners would say that, but not anymore.
Well, they haven't really got going yet this year, so you hold on. Maybe they'll be back to their one for three.
True. So, Andy.
So, Scott.
How does it feel to join the ranks of me?
Pretty rank. No.
Well, it's hot in here.
Yeah, it is. It's a little muggy, if you will. Mainly because you're holding a knife at my throat and asking for money.
Oh, I thought it was going to be about my acting.
Oh, that too.
Mugging the camera.
Mugging the camera. So, today was my last day at Amazon.
Woo! And we were supposed to have a slosh cast.
We were supposed to have a slosh cast. Unfortunately, well, also fortunately, yeah. We did a last-minute Seattle Web Series meetup screening of some stuff I've been working on with Burger Orchard Productions that hopefully I'll be able to share with all of you very soon, all dependent on Burger Orchard's release schedule they dictate to us. Once that happens, you, my Barty friends, will get to see what is quite possibly the funniest thing Tom Brophy has ever done.
Oh, hands down.
It is amazing. He killed these spots, and I cannot wait to share them with you. So, how was your week, Scott?
Restful.
That would have been nice.
Ish. Hmm. I mean, not stressful.
Yeah.
But restful in that.
Stressful.
I wasn't staring at an editing screen for hours on end.
Right.
Which has been really kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
I've been worrying about other things, getting my affairs in order, as it were.
Usually you say that before you die.
Right. But I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. So, got to get my affairs in order.
You know what? Just go.
Okay.
Sorry, John Denver was wrong. Just get out. Get out.
Yes. Gosh. There's got to have been stuff I did. Oh, I know. I drove 600, for all intents and purposes, 597.6 miles in one day.
Oh, whoop-de-fucking-do.
Yeah, I drove from one edge of the state to the other edge of the state. No, but I did this in you are going from point A to point B, hanging out, and then driving from point B to point A.
But it's 500 miles each way.
Right.
Yours is...
But you're going to a destination.
That's right.
I went somewhere. I did those shuttle runs.
Mm-hmm.
I ran over to the other side of the state, touched the line, and then I ran all the way back to the ocean to cool off.
Then he did some burpees.
Then I did some burpees and burped all down the Willamette Valley.
Talk about Yakima.
That's where I should have gone.
Yeah.
Damn it. So I ran out for a Z Nation audition and then ran back and had a viewing of our current cut.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's safe to say. Our current rendition
mm-hmm.
of Journey Quest.
Our
season
living
three.
Edit.
Our living, yes.
You should start using that because I think we'll get a pretty good laugh.
Yes, I think that's good. Our living, breathing edit. And then just kind of chillaxed for a bit.
Nice.
which was good, but been going nonstop, getting a bunch of T's crossed, I's dotted.
You did one more thing that you don't remember, because we both did it.
Podcast.
No, neither of us did that. We just phoned it in.
Literally, we just phoned it in.
We both went to see Connor Mark's film If There's a Hell Below on Wednesday. In the theater.
The evening before, which was why, because, Connor and Carol
and
Roscoe.
And Carol Roscoe. And Nathan Williams. No. Nathan Williams is the...
Director. Writer-director.
But it's not Nathan... Is it Williams? I thought Nathan Williams was the special effects guy. And it was Nathan something else. Something. Anyway. So we went and saw If There's a Hell Below, which was a feature film produced by and starring Connor Marks and starring Carol Roscoe, that is set in Eastern Washington. I will not blow the plot for you, but it does involve espionage, driving.
Windmills.
Driving espionage. Windmills. No Quixotes. One no. Quixote. It involves some mud swallows. Caterpillars, a turtle,
yeah,
and an airplane for some reason. But anyway, interesting film, thriller, not noir, very bright. You get to witness Connor's terrible driving as he runs stop signs. But yes, it all takes place.
Awful!
It all takes place in Eastern Washington. Very interesting. A very interesting take on the single set feature.
Yeah.
So, because the whole concept is they're in a car, and when they're not in a car, they're on the side of the road. It's like essentially a single set feature. Very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Worst seats ever.
Yeah, Uptown Cinema, for all their siffiness, needs to get some seats that aren't 55 years old.
Also, I was in the corner, so I had to turn a little. Because when we saw Interstellar there, and it wasn't so bad.
Nathan Williams.
Okay. I must be thinking of a different Nathan. He used to be Ian Hubert's roommate, does a lot of special effects.
Uh-huh.
Nathan something or other. Sorry, Nathan, if you're listening. Guess you should have rendered out your name better. I would have remembered it. But yeah, the seats were fucking terrible.
Yeah.
And the lady in front of us when we first got there... bathed in the worst perfume you've ever smelled. That's why we moved.
I was watching you move and commenting to my seat partner that on the where are they going? I'm like, A, look at how much leg room there is, and you guys were way inside, and B, pretty sure there's something, and the couple behind us, I came so close to just turning around and going, take your conversation elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just, so you people are younger than me.
Yeah.
You don't have to be having the old people come.
Oh, Ozzy, what's going on?
Why are they in a car? Oh, shut up.
I'm going to Snapchat this. So yeah, it was really fucking cool to see that on a big screen, even though it was at an angle that basically made everybody look like a line. My only complaints are about the theater. It sucked so bad. Again, from where we were and the fact that Perfumezilla was, you know, I mean, it was that bad. It was like tanks were coming in.
Yeah.
And bombing.
I do not know why people do that when they go to public events.
Feminism because Perfume is a stupid fucking construct. There we go. I'll just say it. Get rid of it. You don't need it, ladies or women or girls or whatever you like. Or men who wear perfume, stop with the Axe, stop with perfume, stop with the cologne, stop with the Brute, stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Brute by Fabergé. 33 right, 33 left, Joe Namath. Anyway,
They make great eggs, too.
They do.
Yeah.
I would like to apologize now for any sniffles that people may... be hearing. I'm sorry, it's one of those, you know, the weather changed and so my allergies are kicked into high gear for some reason. And no amount of allergy medication trifecta that I'm on right now is taking care of it. So
gotcha. Well, I'll go through my week then.
Yes,
so,
please.
Obviously, Connor Mark's movie and Carol Roscoe's movie. On Thursday, we drove to Boise, Idaho, for the Memorial Day weekend with my kids. We were actually going, the Memorial Day weekend was an afterthought. We were going for Anime Oasis, which is a small anime con in Boise. I think we've talked about it before.
Did you see Tangle there?
I did not. So she normally runs the cosplay booth, mm-hmm. or I'm sorry, the cosplay repair shop. She was a featured guest this time, so I didn't get a chance to see her, and I don't have her phone number. Go figure. Oh. So I didn't. I could have probably Facebook messaged her, but I didn't. We were running around all the time. It was okay. I understand you don't have a lot of cons in Boise. I get that. Fine. Please just ask someone from a bigger city how to run a con. Just ask. They'll tell you. You don't have to do it on your own. It doesn't mean weakness. Asking for help isn't weakness. Please ask.
Get on the Spokon, Radcon, Miscon bandwagon. For real. You're all in
because,
the same thing.
Seriously, they had less this year, but spread out more. Which is not good.
No.
There was... So last year, they do it in the Idaho Center skating rink area at the Grove Hotel. There's an actual ice rink there.
Oh.
And they, you know, take all the ice out. It's just concrete.
I was going to say, they were gone on ice? That's
they were doing roller skating, right? This is just an example. That's one event. They were doing roller skating. And the DJs in the center, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. Behind the DJ, up all the way to the wall, chairs and stuff stacked, just storage. So you can't go around the rink. They left a boxing ring for another event that was totally easy to tear down in the rink as well. And the skate borrow line went up to the DJ booth in the middle of the rink. So they have now made it impossible for anyone to skate without hitting people.
Right.
This is a hockey rink. You could have done the skate checkout up above.
Yeah.
Given people the skates, they could have walked down to the rink, put them on the benches, and gone out and skated. Clear out the back. You've got a nice round skate, because round skating's where it's at.
Yeah.
And they didn't do that. They didn't put up showering signs until Sunday. And believe me, on Saturday, they needed them.
Mm.
Oh, my God. It smelled like the inside of a cow's ass.
Yeah.
More than Idaho normally does.
Uh-huh.
Up by a little. It was fucking awful, man. It was eye-watering at a point. It was still fun. My kids had a good time. They just don't know. They've never been to a real con. I'm trying to remedy that. Want to get them up here for like Sakura Con or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, whew. Anyway, so we did that. We did some barbecue. We did, I visited my family a little bit. And we drove back, and mm-hmm. I'm driving back again next week to pick them up for the summer, for the 2 weeks
mm-hmm.
That I get them. Mm. But I'll drive down.
When are you going?
I'm going Wednesday. Well, I pick them up on Wednesday, so I'm probably going Tuesday night.
So not this weekend. You're talking the 6th through the 10th.
The 8th. So, yeah. Okay, yeah. The 8th is the day that I pick them up, and then I return them on the 22nd.
Gotcha.
So... did that. Went to the Seattle Web Series meetup today.
Mm-hmm.
Screened a couple of glitch things, like I said earlier.
Well, you didn't actually say glitch things. You said super secret stuff you were doing secret. For
it's,
Burger Orchard.
It's glitchy. It's obviously glitchy.
Yeah.
Watched a web series that was kind of interesting to me.
Yeah.
It's the Thornwood. Thornwood is the name of the web series.
Penny Dreadful.
Penny Dreadful... Look up Thornwood Penny Dreadful, you'll find it. But it's a sort of steampunky, werewolfy thing. Really cool. Done by a young local filmmaker.
There's a link in between today's episode post on Facebook and last week's episode post. Because I said we were going to be there, so you can find it from the Seattle Web Series.
Find it from there.
Yeah.
That's about it. Well, and again, last day at Amazon. So today was total senioritis. I went and I tore down, so I'd put...
Oh, no. Tell the story about this. In the condensed version, it will summarize existence at Amazon.
This summarizes my existence. So...
No, your existence at Amazon, not your existence.
We'll let the universe decide that.
Okay.
So, getting ready to pack up and everything, my boss is like, all right, we're ready to go to your going away lunch. I'm like, oh, yeah, cool. So... we all go. He's like, where do you want to go? I don't know. Gordon Biersch. It's this little like bar pub kind of, they do steak and stuff too in Pacific Place. So we hike down to Pacific Place, go up, get seated, you know,
as a group, as your entire department,
order our food, you know, talk, all that stuff. Lunch is wrapping up. Waiter comes over. He's like,
Just a sec.
Yeah.
You worked where again?
Amazon.
So not like a startup, an established company.
This is Amazon.
Right. Okay. Just confirming.
So sitting at the table, waiter comes by. He's like, all right. So will this be one check or separate checks? And my boss replies, separate checks, please. And we all paid for my going away lunch individually.
Yeah.
Frupid is the word. Frupid is frugality to the point of stupidity. And frupid sums up so much about what happens there.
Yeah.
Don't even get me. I can't talk about any of the security stuff, but it's pretty frupid. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Finish.
So anyway, finished that, came back, tried to wash the reek of garlic fries off of my hands because, they were pungent. And I knew I had to come to the Webfest tonight, so couldn't get it off. Ended up just brushing my teeth and then washing my hands with a potato scrubber at home before we went. And then came home, and it was my last day at Amazon. So that's a weird thing. Not really. I've never really identified as an Amazonian. Mm-hmm. I always identify as a Microsoftie. I'm like, oh yeah, we. I talk about Microsoft in terms of we. We did this and we did that. Amazon never. I never felt kind of in. And I mean, obviously,
you're not tall enough, and you're a man.
That's true.
You can't be Amazonian.
I did cut off one of my breasts.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
it didn't improve my archery, but it was delicious.
So, tastes like chicken?
Yeah. Yeah. It's little tit cracklings. Loved them. Good stuff. So, anyway. Popcorn tits. Tater tits. That's a old George Carlin one, right?
Yeah.
Pizza tits and sesame tits. And onion tits. Tater tits. Bet you can't have just one. That's true. I usually switch off. Oh, George Carlin. That was from Class Clown, I believe.
Ooh, wow. Yeah. You even know the title of the comedy album.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, so finally left with, I think, all my belongings. Who knows? I don't know. Now the insanity will set in. I'm not too worried, but can't really talk about it too much yet.
Mm-hmm.
Very hopeful moving forward. We'll see how it goes.
I'm excited.
So that was my week.
I was just going to say that I want to follow up with we have talked less than glowingly about Amazon.
Well,
We have had some struggles with the Microsoft.
Yes.
And I just wanted to relay a happy Microsoft story.
Yes, please.
And
Amazon's not all bad, too, by the way.
No,
for testers, not great.
Right. That specific division. I mean, I had another wonderful Amazon experience with customer service today.
Oh, customer service is great. It's the best. I think, as a retailer, top of the fucking list.
Yeah.
Top of the fucking list.
I ordered something and forgot a same day delivery. Oh,
right.
My God. And had a second thing that I forgot to include on the order. I chatted them up and they're like, just order it. We're going to pay for the shipping and then we'll remove the shipping. And I'm like, what? And before I'd even completed my order, it was done.
Wow.
I was like, wow. But I, as many of you know, had a Microsoft Band 1, which was bequeathed to me by Andy, the other bard, who got a Microsoft Band 2, which was awesome. And I loved my Band 1, and I was using it a lot. And then we got our Windows 10 phones, and then it stopped being interoperable. And there's a common problem with those. The battery clusters are on either side of your wrist. The new ones are on the actual, if you will, watch face on the back. And there's much less wear and tear on them. I was going through my fourth band as of yesterday for all of these problems and got a hold of customer chat for band, which actually exists. It's amazing. You can chat with someone. They don't have that for phone. Trust me. And the person,
well, yeah, band sells actual units. So
yeah. So customer service rep says, well, we only swap out same-same. But the stores have other policies. And I'm like, okay, great. So I called the South Center kiosk, which I normally have been returning my band to, thinking I'm a repeat customer. They're like, we've got one band one. We don't have any band twos, and we would only swap out for the same thing. I was like, okay, fine. I'll call a store. So I called the Bellevue store, talked to the tech, and I'm like, here's my story. This will be my fourth band, and I would really like to find a way to upgrade to a band two, whether I can trade this in or pay a difference or whatever. He's like, okay, let me get right back to you. Oh, my manager says, sounds like you've been through enough. Just come on down. We'll give you a band two. Wow. I'm like, you mean I just give you my band what? He's like, yep, just come on down. We'll give you a band two. Do you want to do that later? I'm like, no. Before you change your mind, I'll come up there right now. And it was Monday of Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
No traffic. I made it from home to Bellevue in 45 minutes and back in 45 minutes. An hour and a half round trip. I got a wonderful, brand new, I sleep with it every night, band two. And I had an extra charge cable because of all the times that I kept returning them. I kept forgetting to bring the charge cable. So I said, I have an extra charge cable. I don't know if you have them. It's really handy. I'd like to get one. And she's like, oh, no, we sell those. We'll give you one of those, too. So I got a brand new band, too, and an extra charge cable, for the price of free, which I thought was pretty awesome.
Well, technically, I paid $150 for all this.
Right.
Technically. But that's a good deal.
But even if you'd paid the $150, the two is a $250. That's true. So you would have made $100.
Yeah. Wow. Thanks for looking out for me and get me a...
You are very... It's the least I could do.
I feel richer already.
There you go. That's why I'm here.
Well, let's get to questions because it's late.
The rest
late.
Of my week's negotiations go this well, it'll be a happy day.
It's late. It's hot. I don't want to talk about negotiations on account I didn't get that that lottery commercial. So let's just move on.
Oh, I didn't either.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wonder if Brian did. I know he was up for it, too.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to start with the simple ones.
Okay.
And keep James's for last.
Oh, James.
Because then I'll, I will have gotten worked up into reading properly. So Jay Blanken, who is a new contributor
welcome,
to the
Jay.
Questions, welcome, Jay, asks a question. Leo's existence not included, what's the worst / most pathetic way you've had an RPG character die?
Oh, just recently, in fact.
Uh-huh.
I was playing Paranoia for a good cause.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And I logicked my way to death.
Wow.
Basically, I went and tried to plead a case to an orange quest giver, essentially, because we never even got our mission. So I jumped in a door and I was like, hey, I'm sick of all these other guys. I had a quirk where I thought all bots were humans and all humans were bots. So I'm like, I don't know why all these bots are following me. I'm going to jump in here. I'm going to get the mission. I'm going to, it'll be good. And I abandoned my team, which is treason, which computer does not like. And he diced me to bits with a high-powered laser. So wow. That's probably me going in being smug, all full of hubris. My hubris was everywhere.
Outside of Leo, I haven't died in an RPG game. I keep expecting to because...
You keep getting bookshelves falling on you and shit, yeah.
I don't roll so well.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, that's the closest that I've come to dying. And
you can
Jay,
go find that
you
one.
Will, I believe we've referenced it twice in the 142 previous episodes somewhere.
Well, good luck.
One of them was fairly recent.
Fairly recent.
So yes. I would say somewhere between 120 and 142, you might
find
out
story.
About that. And that's encouraging you to go listen to the other episodes. But yeah, all the pickup games, any of the online backer games that we've done, I've always expected, because I play Flynn.
We're going to have to fix this, man.
Because I defend my right to, quote, guest play my own character. And somehow, miraculously, I may do stupid things like make the entire floor in a cave tilt towards the chasm, but I don't die.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Dick.
Yes. Rob McLennan writes, is there one item that would really serve no purpose in your life that you would like to own? Something that you would like to have for the sake of having it, to be able to say to people when walking them through your home, this is my fill in the blank, so that you could see the blank or confused look on their faces.
Hmm. Hmm. I don't know. Spacesuit from one of the Apollo missions, maybe?
That'd be pretty damn cool.
Yeah, that seems like something I'd like.
My attainable
mm-hmm.
goal of this is potentially being worked on the question asker himself.
Hmm.
Because I would like to have that just sitting around for people to go, why? And I'll go, why not?
Because apocalypse swords. That's why.
Apocalypse swords, art, painstaking parkour. Labor, awesomeness.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, I think it would have to be... and. It's
whatever you
it
want.
It really man. Serves Go no big. Purpose in life.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't have a blank or confused look, because what I would want would be one of the original models used from the Star Wars movie.
I knew it was going to be Star Wars. I was thinking it was going to be the Chewbacca costume.
Well, that would be epic. I have the bathrobe, but the costume would be amazing.
Yeah.
Now that would be a Bardworthy bear.
That would be a Bardworthy bear. By the way, do not go to bardworthybears.com.
No. No, it's kind of like going to whitehouse.com.
Not anymore, though. The White House took care of that.
Oh, good.
I'm sure someone's dead.
The secrets are... Paula Moran writes, sorry, I did mean play by post through email or social boards.
Oh.
So now my hubris and smugness will get me diced to bits by little lasers.
So two people don't know what by post means. All right, no, that's cool. That's fine.
No, two people aren't as old as you. Oh, hold it, wait.
Wait
I'm
a
older
second,
than you are.
Yeah. No, I want to see all the kids, all the millennials and all the young kids running around going, oh, pardon me, could you send me an electronic post, please? Send me a message by electronic courier. Thank you. Thank you, my dear. Yes.
That's going to be
all
the next
correspondence.
The next hipster thing will be mustache, monocle, and electronic posting.
We should make an email server that just doesn't deliver your email for like 2 weeks because it goes by like electronic barge. And sometimes it sinks.
What's the funniest or strangest character name you've ever personally had or encountered?
For me, that's an easy one. Well, no, I guess it's not. Damn it, because there's a bunch. Raffle Snaffle is probably the funniest, but then there's this horse called Jim Jam that I really like too. All same encounter, or sorry, same campaign.
Hold it, Unit Tester was named after a horse?
Partially. Only once. He was named many times. But Raffle Snaffle was a gnomish rogue thief who, like, he was essentially ridiculously hard to hit. All of his stats were in dexterity, dodge, all that shit. So he had, I think, like a 35 natural dice challenge to his dex rolls because of his height and all that jazz. So, but what he would also do is, because we worked with a controller at the time, the controller got to hit. He got a free hit every time someone provoked opportunity. So Raffle Snaffle would line his ass up between a bunch of mobs and dash through them, provoking opportunity from all of them, but not getting hit and allowing the controller 15 fucking strikes or something.
Wow.
It was a beautiful system. So that was fun.
That is...
What was your character?
Amazing. I honestly can't remember. I don't remember people's names, let alone RPG character names.
Probably Raffle Snaffle now.
Yes, I will never forget Raffle Snaffle. But I have used a name before that I like for personal historical reasons, and that's Throckmorton.
Oh, Throckmorton.
That was the name of one of my two turtles that I rescued. Air quotes, rescued.
Big McLarge, huge.
Appropriated from the river and made my own personal pet.
Punch McRockgroin. Sorry. These are just MST3K names I'm throwing out now.
And I was quickly looking up who it was based on, because it's a name that my dad used to tell me. Mm-hmm. And I want to say it was a character, I believe the turtle, in the Pogo comics of the 40s and 50s.
Down at, what was it, Okefenokee, something Soda Swamp?
Yes.
But it's like Okefenokee, but it's something soda. God, why can't I remember this?
Soda Springs?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. But that has been like this family name, and I just Throckmorton sound, it can be so many things. Mm-hmm. It can be like, I'm your hero, Throckmorton. It can be, hi, Throckmorton.
Mm-hmm. Evil. Unending evil.
Throckmorton. Throckmorton. So, yeah. That's my go-to weird name.
Yeah, that's cool. But oh, dear God. All right. So, Scott's going to have to take 5 deep breaths real quick. So there's a wall of text. I don't know exactly what it says.
Well, it's from James Peters, and he's trying to set up his question. So the question is at the bottom, but it asks if we've noticed James. The same thing. His second part, which may be a question, which I'm not going to get to.
We requested the second part, right?
The second part is he's talking about an airport.
Mm-hmm. The Narita
airport. Right. So that is on our Facebook page, and you can feel free to find out the information on that. But his general question revolves around this. In recent years, I have noticed a trend in a lot of fiction that dictates everything mystical and magical must be explained in a level of detail that turns it into a science. What magic can and cannot do, how it works, and why it works must be made completely transparent to the reader. Magical fire is expected to follow the rules of thermodynamics. You can't have a gravity gun because a gravitic force strong enough to put a hole in something would disrupt the entire solar system, etc. If you write in something like the Force, as it's seen in the original Star Wars trilogy, for example, the audience critiques, I swear there's a question in here, bear with me, with criticisms like, wait, they never said you can push things with the Force, and now it makes noises to distract people? How does this Force work? Well, that's BS. Plot holes. They're just making this up as they go. Even with Episode 1, they tried to do that with the midichlorians. Fuckers! My question is, have you folks noticed the same thing? I added the fuckers. That was an editorial comment. James would never say that. Have you folks noticed the same thing? And if so, what do you feel about this need to have all fictional elements follow real-world rules and be explained to the point of mundanity? I think I did pretty good with that.
You did very well with that. And it's funny because as loquacious and eloquent as the question was, my answer is, fuck no. Just let some mystery happen. Magic can be magic for magic's sake, especially in fiction. Fiction's to escape reality. Give me magic.
Right.
I'm a huge fan of...
It works this way, contrary to what you know, because it's magic.
Yeah, here's what's funny. It doesn't need to be for big things either.
No.
If you have seen, and I think you have, there's a film on Netflix in the U.S., maybe available other places, but I think it's still available in the U.S., called The One I Love. And it's one of your Duplass brothers.
Oh yes. Yeah.
So the film just has a small magical element that is used to forward the plot. They never explain it. If they explained it, it would ruin it. And the point. So here's the issue: when you over-explain magic, suddenly the point of the show is the magic,
right?
And the reasoning behind it. They don't ever explain the magic. The magic is there to get you to the next point in the story. And that's fine. Mm. So yes, I have noticed them over-explaining magic. It's fine if you're doing speculative science fiction. That's great. That's what that's for. It's wonderful. But no, I mean, and I love, like, Patrick Rothfuss is great and everything like that. The magic in his world is science, and they try to explain it with entanglement. Essentially, quantum entanglement is what magic is.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool if your point is, hey, here's this thing, they didn't know how to do it, or they didn't know how to, like, if you were going to explain spooky action at a distance in a medieval setting, I get it. I get you be called magic, but you couldn't really observe it. Let's be honest here. So what they're doing is they're blowing it up. They're saying that quantum allows them, like quantum forces allow them to do magic. And now you've kind of over-explained the magic. And now it's not
magic, it's science.
For that book, that's fine. And science is great too. That's great. But what you've made is you've made a fantasy science fiction.
Right.
So it's fine with the right intent and the right writing. However, the rush to make everything science all the time is, I think, counterproductive to storytelling.
Yes.
And I'm a very scientifically minded person. I want to escape with my entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So I love when they don't explain the magic, when there's just something extra natural about the world. A good example would be Supernatural. It's just magic. This is magic and the devil and religion.
This is magic. Unless Matthew McConaughey's in it.
Matthew McConaughey.
And then you get frustrated. Matthew McConaughey.
You talking about True Detective?
No.
No.
Talking about the space one.
No, that's science. That's science that they magicked up.
No, it wasn't
that's
science.
Difference.
It's not science.
No, that's different. That's like, here's time. Magic science.
Fucking
beyond the event horizon. Get out of here, Matthew McConaughey.
I would also say that it's pandering to the lowest common denominator, which needs to stop. In the specifics of the midichlorians, I will say this, also for the wrong reasons was this done, but when the original trilogy came out and there was the Force, there was a huge movement of it being pushed, not literally, but figuratively, as a religion.
Mm.
The Force surrounds us. It binds us together. It was this mythical thing. It was this awesome movement. And George was like, no, it's not. It's not religion. I'm not trying. And so as a way to break that with Episode One, the fucktard thing that it was, they said, okay, now it's midichlorians. Fuck everybody who thought it was this mystical thing. So for anyone coming in,
midichlorians
it's like,
are the magic house of the cell.
Yeah, then I can just extract some midichlorians from you, inject them into you, and now you have Jedi powers. So it was an attempt by a creator of a thing to more fashion his intent of what that thing was supposed to be, which is wrong. Because as a creator,
he
as
tripped
we
over
know,
his midichlorians. Yeah.
Because you create a thing and you put it out into the world. And the thing that's glorious, frightening, scary, and traumatic about that is that it then lives on its own. And if all of the world wants the Force to be this wonderful, redemptive thing, mm-hmm. and you didn't mean it to be, get over yourself.
Well, and you don't. The thing is, it's not black and white. It's not have one or the other. You can mean it that way, and people can interpret it another way, and that's okay.
Yes.
You don't have to go back and make it fit to so people can only interpret it your way.
Right.
You know, whatever. Anyway. All right, well, I'm mad, so I want to go.
So, Neil deGrasse Tyson, if you can explain to us what midichlorians are in scientific detail, we'd be ever so appreciative.
Yeah, if you can explain why I'm assuming two pages in a science textbook got stuck together and mitochondria and chloroplasts somehow ripped into the same sentence and kinda neither like is the, correct.
Like the centerfold on my old Christ. Playboys.
Oh, buddy, please come on the podcast and let's just talk about Star Wars, Neil.
Yeah.
Come on, buddy.
Please?
Come on.
You're going to be in Seattle.
Yeah, without further ado.
Thank you to all of our Patreon subscribers. This is the final day of March.
So our new subscriber list will come out with the next podcast.
Yes. And until then, thank you, Hawk Robinson.
Leslie Sedlak.
Todd McKimmy.
Zombie Orpheus Entertainment, LLC.
Bradley Swan.
Oh, it's normally.
Bradley Swan.
Gordon D. Duke.
Digby Davis, LLC.
Paula Moran.
Amanda Cook.
Mark Bevier.
Mike Ott.
James Herbert.
Adam Morey.
Matthew Hunt.
Mike Thompson.
Tim Martin.
Rob McLennan.
Lotta Jerv.
And she said that we got it right.
Oh, good. I probably didn't that time.
No, I moved and sweeted it all up.
I moved and my diaphragm kind of.
Laura Adams.
Tom Brapapapapi. Tom Brapapapi.
Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar. Donald Evans.
Dougie Sharp.
Justin Everett.
Brittany Bentley.
Brad Roberts.
Jennifer Reifenberry.
Rival Guy.
Chad Jones.
Thank you all very much. We will see you here next week.
We will project to you. Next week we should be able to do it, right?
Sunday or Monday. I'll be coming back.
Well, Sunday I'll be on set, so maybe Monday.
Well, if all goes well Monday, I may be on the other side of the state.
You'll hear us when you hear us.
You'll hear us when you hear us, because I'll be coming back from Salem on Sunday. You'll be on set when on Sunday?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Gute Nacht, meine Freunde. And good luck.